Good morning, everybody. Danny, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing well. Super excited to be on Surviving Life with the Vambellies.
As usual, it's always amazing to be with you on Wednesday mornings. What are we discussing today, Danny?
I don't know.
That's scary.
Am I on the right show, Letitia?
Yes, you're on the right show, and I'm going to help you out. Today, we are talking about how there is nothing wrong with you. Danny, is there nothing wrong with you?
Well, my stomach is a bit big right now. I'm trying to fix it, guys. I think the gym is helping. But I think there's some things wrong.
Yeah, this week's topic, it's a little bit misleading this week to say there's nothing wrong with you. So if we look at Jeremiah 29:11, it speaks of more than just the good stuff that God has in store for us. It also very literally stipulates that God planned out our lives. This means that there's indeed a unique you, that submits to that plan. The title, There's Nothing Wrong With You, is speaking to the submitted version of you. It's the difference between a talent that is submitted to God versus one that is not. Our personalities are much the same, and often we can problematize the character trait we are seeing in a person without realizing that the trait itself was given by God but is currently perverted by the enemy. And so this trait needs resubmission in order to unveil its true godly appearance. That's what we mean by there's nothing wrong with you.
So yeah, you might be a bit of a knucklehead, you know, but if you submit it to God, He can redirect it. And some of you who are very quiet, you don't speak like you should. There's a way that if we submit that to God, that it will work. So stay tuned as we speak about how there's nothing wrong with you.
It's time for the recap.
All right, so we are recapping our topic on there being nothing wrong with you. So you might be sitting there thinking, but you know what? I have so many problems, so many things I'm dealing with. So it doesn't make sense that you guys are actually saying there's nothing wrong with me when I see all these things. But Letitia, how do you make this make sense for a person who is living in the perverse version of themselves?
Well, I think it's always important to go straight to scripture. We're going to go to John 10:10. And we know that John 10:10 speaks of, you know, what God wants for us. But then it also says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's quickly focus on the destruction part of that scripture.
All right.
The enemy is constantly on a mission to destroy what God has built. And you know, babe, I just thought, let me go look up the definition of destruction so we know what we're talking about here. It's the action or process of causing so much damage to something that it no longer exists or cannot be repaired. Now, I even highlighted the word repair in my mind because we know that the Lord is a restoration God. The Lord is a repairing God. Have you ever heard the saying that people who destroy things typically don't build things? Think of your toddlers, like how they just destroy your entire house.
Those guys are professionals at what they do.
And it's because they didn't build anything. You know, they weren't a part of it. Well, that's Satan. He can't build human beings, so he destroys them instead. And that destruction comes in the most colorful of ways. And today we're going to look at some of the ways in which the enemy can destroy a character trait that God meant for good. And now it's either operating in the perverse version or even in the opposite version, because it's destroyed to a non-existence, if that makes sense.
Yes. And this should actually tell you that there's something in you that's being fought. And if the enemy is fighting it, there must be something good about it.
Yes, you have value no matter what it looks like. Now,
Israel, a new breed. Israel signs a wonder. Why are we saying there's nothing wrong with you? You better stay tuned.
Impact 103.
Phil Thompson with Only Risen King. You're still on SLWV on Impact 103. And today we're talking about how there's nothing wrong with you. Danny, can you illustrate this for us? What exactly are we talking about?
Well, I'm going to look at the context of marriage. You know, There are these two couples I know. One is called Lady V, the other is called Danny V. Danny V is quite loud, and you know, he's the naughty person in the relationship. He will prank you and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And then you've got Lady V, who is more of the more reserved person. You know, we have to put a mic a bit louder. Yeah, you know, soft spoken, and yet she speaks a lot. That's a different story.
But lies.
She's soft spoken.
All lies.
No, we'll discuss that off air. No marital issues on the radio. But those two differences are okay. You know, it's okay to be different from your partner. It's okay to not be exactly the same. In fact, it could be problematic if we were both loud.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would think we're fighting. Or if we're both quiet, they'll think those two don't even talk to each other, you know. And that balance can make you want to change your partner.
Mm.
You can think, you know, something's wrong with my partner. Or think something's wrong with me because I am not like my partner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, there's a version of you that's not submitted to God. And if that version is present, then it's bad. So what do I mean by that? If you being loud means you don't give other people a chance to talk, wherever you go, you are unruly, your voice must be heard, you love the sound of your voice, then it's a problem, you know, because it means that you are operating in the way you are created, but it's not in a way that is submitted to God or considerate of others. Now, same goes as if you are someone who is a bit more on the reserved side, but the Lord's telling you to talk and you don't want to talk, or you see something wrong and you don't want to mention that there is actually something wrong because you feel that your voice is not important enough, then again, you are not submitting yourself to speak at the right time. So mm-hmm. that is wrong. So we are saying your makeup is okay, but you need to make sure that you are allowing yourself to be submitted and led.
I think in the marriage, it's a little bit more complex, hey? Because then I need revelation of why you're loud and what God wants to do with your loud. And you need revelation of why I'm soft.
Why should I
tell you? And what God wants to do with my soft. And it takes it to a whole other level of me learning, for example, like now we're on radio together, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would rather not. I would rather not be talking. But I've come to realize over time that a person can, or when you're walking with the Holy Spirit also tells you when to speak. Because
yeah.
My thing was just don't speak at all. Even when things are falling apart, even when the Lord is calling you to speak, I'm going to keep quiet because that's what makes me comfortable. And that was the unsubmitted version of my character. Now my submitted version is I will speak when I feel the Lord giving me the prompting to speak. Or within the marriage, I will speak when I realize that not speaking is breaking things. I think that's what you're saying. And it's so important to also realize that your voice, Danny, has purpose.
And I know I also... you know, just coming from the same point of view, I was someone who would speak at all times. And I had to learn that there are places where God does not, I'm a fixer, you know. So if I see something wrong, I want to fix it. But what if the Lord is dealing with that person in this moment and he doesn't want your voice to get involved?
Wow.
You know, so we have to learn that just because it's part of your character does not mean all the time you have to be you.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when you need to tell the Lord, okay, Father, thank you for peace. I will watch this thing break. Though I am a fixer, waiting for you to do what you want to do in that person's life. So yes, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your makeup. but give God a chance.
Remember, you can tell us more about that by WhatsApping us on 071-364-0376. We would love to hear the submitted version of you. When I think of Peter, I want to use an example for the submitted and unsubmitted versions of ourselves. Typically, I think about upon this rock I will build my church. You know, that's not a nobody human that Jesus can bestow such powerful things on. But Danny, what do you like to say about that ear incident?
Yeah, that brother was wild. We found him in Kapstadt. He cut off someone's ear, Peter. the same rock the Lord was building on.
Yet Peter in the Bible, he's so compassionate and he's loyal. That's who he is. That's who we know him as. But there was that violence thing. And we see that completely change afterwards, as we go into the Acts of Apostles and all these 12 disciples now realizing their vocation in Christ Jesus, some of these characters then become subdued to God, and we see more of them as they come about. Wherever they were found, you tend to see that a character trait that was a problem before actually becomes the thing that God uses to speak his word through. Danny, do you have any examples of such people in the
I always think of Paul, you know, because honestly, guys, we would have probably called Paul a serial Christian killer, and we would have not wanted him anywhere close to anything that has to do with Jesus or Christians. But when you see that switch, it tells us that the same passion that we confused for maybe a murderous hunger against Christians is exactly the passion God used to write what we read today and are blessed by. So I'm taking this to say the same thing you've got a problem with in your partner and maybe even in yourself, where you're looking and you're saying, man, I am so bad, or my partner is so bad, or my child. If that thing could be submitted to God, we'll see something different.
The thing that the enemy loves to do with us is this perversion that we spoke about earlier, where a lot of the times your redemptive gift in Christ Jesus is operating in its perverse or opposite states, where the vigor, because remember Paul, after he had the encounter and the walk in Damascus, he actually said, these people are going to kill me, Lord. Are you saying that I should stay here? They all know that I was persecuting the Christians. But do you realize that this man who used to command death upon believers now gives us life through the gospels that were facilitated by him? We need to begin to think that the enemy loves to do this opposite thing. So sometimes the thing you're struggling with is just unsubmitted. And once you submit it, you can see what God really wanted to do with that passion and that vigor that you have for something.
Yep. So this is really the core issue. Are you okay with being you, but a version of you that is submitted to God and that will actually be productive and for the good of the body of Christ, even in your family? Stay tuned. You are with the Vambillies. Let's have a quick word from our sponsors. Linkway Worship. What a beautiful song that was. We want to hear from you. 071-364-0376. If you had to change and become more aware of yourself in your marriage, let us know. This is Irene Rock with Never Known. You get some of us in our homes, our families, we are there thinking, man, I was made this way by God. So why are you guys complaining that I'm too loud? Why are you guys, you know, uncomfortable with my level of noise? Letitia, what must we do now? What must we do?
And I think, you know, what you're saying is so powerful and it's so true, because sometimes you really feel like this is how I am, and you begin to think that you are a problem. How come me being like this always has such negative feedback? Honestly, that's a sign for you to go and submit that thing. I love how we said family, because how annoyed was Mordecai with Esther when she did not want to face the king. And earlier on, we spoke about how often you will know something is not right when it's operating in its opposite. So it's giving all the negative stuff, but you still feel like you should be that way. We actually see this in Esther 4 verses 10 to 12, where she tells Hathach that she's going to die if she goes through with what Mordecai wants her to do. This woman went from so much fear to so much bravery. You know, there's something I saw years ago that says fear and hope take the same thing to do. It both requires you to believe in something you cannot see.
Wow.
So the gift is the ability to see things that are not there. The perversion or the submission is what you are seeing. So now Esther was seeing death because she has the ability to see beyond what is there. But the truth is, she was supposed to see bravery. She was supposed to see hope. And so in those scriptures, you see someone's demeanor change from this sort of docile, scared little girl to this brave woman who emerges with so much wisdom and so much faith. So I love how we touched on this opposite thing of making sure that the gift God has given us is not operating in its broken version, because that's what the enemy wants.
Some of you actually think you are quiet, but you are not quiet. Maybe you went through a very traumatic event that's told you you need to be quiet. You know, some of you are loud, but no, you're actually just trying to deal with a turmoil that's happening inside of you. So we need to really make you sit down and question and go back to the original intent for which God made you. Are you operating right? And if you are loud or you are quiet, are you submitting that version of you to the Lord? We want to hear if you've changed over the years. 0713640376.
We have got messages now. It's that time of the show where we get to hear from you. We've got a message from Alice, and it says, "Welcome, Lady V and Danny V. God bless you. Submission to God and prayer before we do anything. God must come first in our lives."
And then we've got one from Lufuno. She said, "Blessed morning. I fully agree with that. There are times where we should watch the thing break. Only recently, I got to learn about that. I'd been too involved in this thing that was breaking, and the Spirit of the Lord simply told me, but out. The level of peace I had was indescribable. I believe it's all about submitting the Spirit, submitting to the Spirit of the Lord first, to know when to be loud and when to be still, and let the Lord."
You know,
Shalom.
Lufuno, if I could just say something about that, as the wife of someone who was a doer. We used to go to weddings between you and I and everybody else. We used to go to weddings, and guys, I was single because husband is fixing the tent. He's at the speakers. He's at the microphone. And then one day we actually talked about it, and I was like, "Babe, do you know that this guest, this bride and groom and their respective families and friends, do you know that they actually have it covered?" You know? And then when he first started working on it, it was so hard for him, and I could see it. Like, we'd go to parties, and he sees the tent falling, and he wants to fix it, and I'll squeeze his foot like at the bottom of the table, say, "Baby, let things break."
Yeah. Guys, it's an art form, hey?
It's an art form.
To learn to know when God's not calling you to be the one to fix it. And you're like, "But God, I can see the stick falling apart," you know? And I just want to encourage someone right now. You know, maybe you are like me. It's okay. Sometimes people have to make their own mistakes, you know, yeah. And sometimes people are not yet ready to face that thing, you know. So when you come too quick and you want, you know, to play the role of helping them see, it can actually disturb the process, you know. So Yes, it's hard to watch it break, but watch it break.
And then what happens, babe, if you realize you're a fixer and other people around you realize you're a fixer and they start telling you why they think God's given you that gift? So basically how people perceive your gifting or your calling. Jesus came as a lamb, right? He came in a manger. That doesn't mean that that's who he was and that's what it was for.
I think it's very dangerous, actually, because people can see you being a fixer, and let's say they decide that you're going to be the fixer for their lives. Meanwhile, the Lord has not told you to fix anything in their lives. So we have to be careful that when people notice our character, or let's say they notice you are quiet, they cannot do things in front of you and expect you not to speak because they have seen that in your character. But what if it's that moment where God actually wants you to speak? What if the time when they're saying, come and help, God is like, nope, I don't want you to help because I want the person to learn. So we have to be careful and so submitted to God in a way that it allows us to hear when he's saying yes and when he's saying no.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Danny, you always say you thought your voice was for law or something?
Yes. For those of you who don't know, I was actually studying law because I thought, you know, with the way I speak and I enjoy talking, my job will be, you know, being a defense lawyer. And in my first semester studying law, the Lord actually spoke to me and said, no, I've actually called you, first of all, to represent me and to be in media.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could even say it as a testimony, I was listening to the radio, this radio station called 103 FM Impact. And the Lord literally in my house told me, that's where I want you.
And how many years ago was this?
This was in 2005.
Listen, dinosaurs in studio this morning.
And literally 2 months later, I'd quit law completely and I was on radio.
And in the same token, for someone else, maybe your voice is actually for law. And someone else is saying, hey, you should be on a pulpit somewhere. I think this is all contingent upon that private relationship with God that allows you to truly know, why am I like this? And I must also stress, when we speak about the world telling you why you are how you are, some people have got masculine traits because God wants to do something with that. And some people have got feminine traits because God wants to do something with that. What happens to when we start listening to people and not God is that that trait or that gifting can begin to operate in a manner opposite than what God actually intended for it. So what is that thing that you have that you need to find out from God? Why did you give me this thing and why this way?
Chris Tomlin, the answer. Yes, the answer is that there is nothing wrong with you. But I just want to have a quick heart-to-heart, you know. All of us struggle in the areas where we are called, okay? And what I mean is this. The enemy, you can't perverse what is not there, okay? You might think you're a fearful person, but God has actually called you to be bold. So the enemy perverses your boldness into fear. And now you're thinking, but I'm so afraid of things. Why is God calling me to be bold? It's because, yes, my love, the love that God has for you predestined you to be the opposite of what you are identifying yourself as right now. So you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, but I feel like this, or I look like this, or I don't think I'm bold enough. But the mere fact that you are doubting can be proof that the opposite is present in you. So I'm saying this again. I, Danny, who am called to speak, hated the sound of my voice growing up. You know, I thought I sounded weird. And this is partly because we immigrated when I was young, you know, so I didn't sound like everyone around me. And the enemy made me think that something was wrong with sounding different. So for a very long time, I didn't like the sound of my voice. And I remember when God told me, I will call you to radio and public speaking, it just felt like, how are you going to use the very same thing I've learned to hate? The very same thing I've discarded about myself is what the Lord was actually predestining me to use. We can say the same about David, who thought he was just a shepherd boy when he was called to be a king. What are you thinking of yourself, beloved, that is not right? That is actually the perverse version of yourself. It's just the enemy really fighting that thing that you are. And one of my sisters just messaged now, "Preach, bro, loving the show." This is coming in from Pinky. And I want to say to all of us right now, we need to commit ourselves to believing what God has said about us and not what the enemy has perversed us into believing. You know, if that's you right now, our WhatsApp number is 071-364-0376. Just send that "I believe." You know, I tend to tell you to do this because I want to keep you accountable. Every time you hear us on air, you must remember, I made the decision to believe what God is saying about me. I've made the decision to believe. I see Cindy saying there we go. Amen, brother. Ah, there we go. Andy, I believe. All of us, we have to believe. And if you send that message, every time you hear us on air, you need to accept that you will no longer listen to the perverse voices that are disqualifying you, because you absolutely qualify. You absolutely qualify. Imagine me. I didn't think this voice you are hearing right now, I didn't think it was good enough to be heard by people. So whatever you're believing about you that is not true, I want to pray with you guys at the end of this that the Lord will change that self-image, because we need to align. What we don't accept, the Lord will not do in our lives. So let's all say together, "I believe," and listen to the song called "Hands" by Aaron Cole.
Bright City there with "Your Love." You know, Danny was just talking about how we have to believe what God says about us. Do you believe what God says about you? Now, when God gives us a talent or a gift, and we now know what it is, He also gives us the grace to be able to work out that gift. We're seeing your messages saying, "Hi there, Impact. I believe." And then Leanne says, "I believe exactly what I needed to hear today." That makes us so super happy. I want us to quickly go to the scriptures and look at somebody like David. Now, isn't it interesting that David is only referred to as a murderer once Uriah is killed? David was a warrior. And so we know that what that meant historically is going into cities, having a war, and people were dying already. But the difference with Uriah is that David killed outside of God's will. Even when we have a grace to do something, it must still be in submission to what God has called us to do. It cannot be perverted, and we can't just take it everywhere. That's a good way of seeing that even the things that God allows, even the things that God approves, is still subject to submittance unto God.
You're with the Vambillies on Surviving Life, and we're just going to pray right now. Father, we want to thank you for everyone who's messaged in, for Puleng, who's praying for restoration of their relationship, and we pray that, Lord, you will reconcile them. Father, we also pray for everyone else, Mapopa, for Leanne, for Haley, for Oshi, And Lord, even Bianca, Cindy, Louisa, Pinky, Alice, Lufuno, all of us, Lord, that we will walk in what you say about us and we will believe. Lord, that we won't just say we are shepherd boys, but we will see where you've called us to be kings, we'll be kings. Where you've called us to be bold, we'll be bold. And where you've called us to speak, we'll speak. And where you've called us to be silent, we'll be silent.
Ooh.
Amen.
Amen. I love it. And you know, I was just going to say, do you know that people can love you out of positioning? People can love you right out of purpose. You know, the Pharisees get a very bad rep, and sometimes we don't realize how educated they were on the first five scriptures. They knew everything about it. And when they were against Jesus, it was coming from a place of protecting the holiness of the text. But they were wrong. And that's how it can look with the people in our lives, where they can be telling us, oh, this is why you're like this. Or maybe you have this because you're supposed to go this way. And they can truly be coming from a place of love and not a place of revelation. And that's why it's so important to know what God says about you. What does God say about that gift? What does God say about that ability? What does God say about your sense of style? It goes so deep. Because your style can favor you. We don't get to choose how God favors us. What does God say about our beauty? We've got two examples of beauty in scripture. Well, a lot, but I'm going to juxtapose two. Jezebel versus Esther. Both very beautiful women, but one submitted her beauty to God and another submitted her beauty to something else. Everything that you are, your likes, your dislikes, your favorite color, your personality, God planned it for something holy. God planned it to speak to who he called you to be. And sometimes in this world, we can get feedback that is contrary to who we actually are. And I think that's what today was about, reconciling who I am with who God has actually called me to be.
And I also want to say this in terms of family bloodlines. You know, sometimes, you know, your whole family is a certain way. And maybe you've all participated in a certain kind of trauma together. And you all behave in that way. And you've embraced it. You're like, you know, the Kumalos, we don't just keep quiet as the Kumalos. That does not necessarily mean it's right. You understand me? So it's time for us to introspect and say, even if our family has functioned in this manner, it does not mean that it is right for me to walk in that way. So I can't look at the brokenness of the Vambilis and make that brokenness my identity. I still have a choice to believe what God is saying about me and the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading me. And I want to say to you guys that it is possible to break out and to start a new direction for the entire bloodline. Letitia, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we are going to talk about date your children. And you know, here on SLWV on Impact 103, you have to actually join the discussion to find out why the title is Date Your Children. We previously, if you were with us last week, talked about how date night is non-negotiable between married people. But how often do we tell the same married people to equally put that kind of attention into their children? So next week, date your children is the topic you want to be there. I see there's a message that's just come in, Danny.
Yeah, okay, it's one of those we'll read off air. But Petra, thank you. We see your message.
Awesome.
Guys, we are out of here. We are going to leave you with Bernie. And I believe he's going to have a good word for you. Au revoir. Stay blessed. God loves you. God has called you. And may you pursue the fullness of your calling.
And see you, of course, next week. Same time, same place.
Actually, you can catch Letitia on Monday.
Oh, that's
11 and 1.
On Soul Circle, where we talk more about women's stuff. You want to be there as well between 11 and 1 p.m.
And then the Vambilis, 6 p.m. on a Tuesday night. You can hear us where we have this discussion uninterrupted for 30 minutes. And then, yeah, the show again. Cheers.
Signing off.
Bye.